A message to you this morning. My scripture reading this morning is in Judges. So if you would turn to the pretty much the first part of the Old Testament, first part of the Bible, and let's go to Judges 6 and start at the 37th verse. Behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I will know that you will deliver Israel through me, as you have spoken. And it was so. When he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he drained the dew from the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not let your anger burn against me that I may speak once more. Please let me make a test once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, and let there be dew on all the ground." God did so that night, for it was dry only on the fleece, and dew was on all the ground. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this blessed Sabbath. We thank you, Lord, that you set the examples for us and set aside this 1 in 7 day that was to be special and holy and separate, consecrated to you. And Heavenly Father, right now we ask your blessings on the rest of this service, and we ask you to bless the message. Bless the thoughts that we express and help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your loving Son, Yeshua, we ask, Amen. My text to you is that verse 37 from my scripture reading. And let's look at it together. Behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I will know that you will deliver Israel through me, as you have spoken. This morning, that primary word that we are looking at is fleece. And I think probably if anybody asked me, and perhaps you, mentioned the word fleece, probably we would think of a real warm jacket that was made out of fleece. Or perhaps pants that we put on in this kind of weather, and it really feels good. And that's probably what would come into our mind. A type of material. This fleece of wool, in my mind, I think of a blanket, really comfortable, really plush, made out of wool. And so we see that Gideon was speaking in these words of my scripture to you. And he is, in effect, putting God to a test. Now, I know many have heard one thing or the other about testing God. And some would say, you know, that's not good. You better not do that. You know, it's not good to put God to a test. But we see that it is scriptural. The question is it okay to put a test to the Lord, as Gideon did? And so we have to say, Gideon did. And the Lord did not reprove him. He did not condemn him for doing that. In fact, did he not say the words in another part of the Bible? Did God not say, test me now in this? Let's go to Malachi 3 and 10. My message to you today is entitled, Laying Out a Fleece. Malachi 3 and 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. What does that say to you? Sounds to me like God not only approves of a test to him in a certain situation at a certain point in time for a certain person, he not only approves of it, but what does he do? He answers the prayer. He blesses to the point of overflowing. I would say his approval was on it. We have to say to those circumstances, and seeing how God says, test me now in this. See what I will do. See if I will answer. See if I will abide by my word and answer your concern and your prayer, your request, perhaps for having a touch from him that only he can give. Test me now in this and see if I will not answer. See if I not give you what you ask, even more abundantly than you ask. I'd say, praise Yahweh in that regard. Praise him for answering the prayers. And so it turns to us. Have you ever tested the Lord? Have you ever put the Lord to a test? How much of a blessing can you stand? I will take it for granted that all of you want a blessing. Does anyone in here don't really care to have a blessing? Is there anyone that don't want to be blessed of God? Or don't want a blessing, period? I don't think so. I think we all want to. But I think perhaps maybe we have reservations in the back of our mind about whether we ought to do this particular thing or that particular thing in a certain way, maybe even being fearful of if we do, what the consequences might be. So we might have some reservations. And perhaps that's very justified, because we do serve a God that can not only bless, but he can also be tough. Is that not true? He can also curse. There's blessings, there's cursing. And I know you don't want the latter. So this is simply saying it's not a thing to be taken lightly, haphazardly. We need to think about what we're entering in with God when we enter in with him on anything. And particularly what I've been bringing to you since the first of the year was being in a covenant relationship with God. He has out there an offer of a covenant and has had since as far back as you can go. He wants a relationship with his people. He wants commitments with his people. And it's not to be taken lightly. There is a covenant today. And I would ask you, are you in a covenant relationship with God today? Have you realized that there is a covenant out there, and it's not that unlike the covenants before? It's not that unlike the covenant that was in Moses' day as he was delivering the children of Israel from Egypt. There was a covenant offered then. You know what the covenant was? Yeah, you do. The Ten Commandments. That was the covenant at Moses' time. And God, in essence, is saying, I'm giving you my laws to guide you and all of mankind. It's for your good. I'm giving you these laws to live by. And if you say yes, if you enter into a covenant with me, then I will do all of these things for you. I will make you rise above all that is around you, give you success beyond your wildest dreams. I will always be there for you. I'll answer your call for help. I will provide for you. You won't go hungry. You won't go without clothes. You'll have all the basic necessities and much more as you enter into this covenant with me. Isn't that wonderful? We serve a loving, wonderful, generous God today. Do you want success in your work? Do you want a really good occupation? You want to be successful in that occupation? Do you want happiness in your home? Do you want to be called blessed by all around you? Do you want the devourer? Who is that? Do you want the devourer, your enemy, the enemy of God, Satan, the deceiver? Do you want him rebuked by God himself? What do you think getting rebuked by God is like? You think it would be just? You think it would be complete? You think it would do exactly what it was intended to do right when he spoke it? I think it would. The job would be done right. When God rebukes Satan, he will flee from you. And as a child of God in a covenant relationship with him, he will do that for you. Let's go to Malachi 3 and verse 11. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed. All the nations will call you blessed. For you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Is that what you want? Is that how you want to live? What about the shoe on the other foot? Would you say to God, Psalms 26 and 2, let's go there. We've been talking about laying out a fleece to God, putting God to a test, seeing how He answers, so that we will know then how what to do. What about the other side? Psalms 26 and 2. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart. Do you have the nerve to do that? Do you have the nerve to say to God, test me? If you say that to Him, you better be ready. Because He might decide to test you. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart. That's interesting. Testing God. And now, are we going to have the nerve to ask Him to test us? Examine us and see if we measure up. See if we're worthy of Him. And the answer to that usually is pretty much always no. We're not worthy. You don't feel worthy. I don't feel worthy. I don't feel worthy of all that God has done for me, of the salvation plan, of Jesus dying on the cross, bearing all of the beating and the stripes and the blood for me. Him being totally perfect, totally innocent, worthy of nothing that He was subjected to, and yet He did it for you and for me. No, you can't feel worthy of someone doing that for you. Let's see how we measure up to that entire chapter. Let's start at Psalms 26 and 1. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I love that word there. Do you know the word? I would hope that you would want to become very closely connected with it. It's a very important word. It comes short, way short, in this world that we live in today. Not very many persons have this word as part of their character, and they need it. Every person needs this. Integrity. I want you to become familiar with it. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I shall wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not take my soul away along with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed, in whose hands is a wicked scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on a level place in the congregations. I shall bless the Lord. Aren't those wonderful words? I would love to meet that person. It would be a wonderful time with the person and with one of God's children. One that walked in His ways and in His truth and knew that God expected us to have integrity with God and man. None of us are worthy or can feel worthy. But the question is, do you trust Him? Let's see what He says in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6. Deuteronomy 7 and starting at verse 6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any of these. Can we go on down? Because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which He swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousand generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. Aren't those that wonderful? But repays those who hate Him to their faces, to destroy them. He will not delay with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment and the statutes and the judgments which I am commanding you today to do them. Then it shall come about, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you His covenant and His loving kindness which He swore to your forefathers. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock in the land which He swore to your forefathers to give to you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There will be no male or female barren among you or among your cattle. The Lord will remove from you all sickness, and He will not put on you any of the harmful diseases of Egypt which you have known. But He will lay them on all who hate you. Can you accept that? Can you believe that God will do what He said in these words? You either believe it or you don't. It's part of receiving His blessings. It's important to the degree that you receive His blessings. How much do you trust Him? How much faith do you have? Do you believe He can perform that which He says? Can you act on your faith? Listen to His words in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Just like in the days of Moses, God has his laws to guide the people, to lead them. Those laws have not changed. They're still in effect. They're still required. They are binding. They were back then, 3,500 years ago. Was when Moses was here on this earth, 3,500 years ago, and things have not changed in regard to his requirements of us. His laws have always been for our good. His covenant has always been for our good. And the factor which decides partially how we're going to be blessed, if we're going to be blessed, if we're going to be successful, how successful? Do you just barely want to make it? Or would you like your cup to be overflow? Would you like to be successful in everything you do, everywhere you go? People look up to you, call you blessed. God says they will if you enter into a covenant relationship with him. Could anybody do it? Has anybody ever been able to do this before for any length of time? Was the nation of Israel, his original chosen people, were they ever to do it? Were they ever able to do it for any length of time? No, they wasn't. They turned to idol gods. They turned away from the one true living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there is no other God besides that God. There's only one God. And my God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you want yours to be the same. He is the one that is offering this covenant. Do you want the covenant? There is things to do if you do. There's decisions to make. There's commitments and promises to be made and kept. It's an important thing. I'd like to go to Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. Deuteronomy 28 and 1. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey, and this is part of what it's going to be, if you decide to take him up on his offer of his covenant for you today, right at this moment. If you decide to accept his covenant. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. How would you like to be blessed in such of a way that the blessings come after you and then just overwhelm you? Wouldn't that be wonderful to have blessings such that they overwhelm us? Don't you think that would be a joyful, peaceful experience? Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your breast, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. You're going to be just swamped with blessings if you react to the Lord. If you do what the Lord is presenting before you. If you haven't cleared your mind enough to enter into this covenant relationship with God before, you need to decide to do it now. Let's go to Malachi 2 and 2. If you do not listen, this is the other side of the coin. If you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart, to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. And indeed, I have cursed them already, because you are not taking it to heart. Isn't that pathetic? He offers you his best. Tells you how to have it. Tells you he wants you. He wants to bless you. He wants to provide for you. He wants to protect you. He wants to deliver you. And yet you take it so lightly that you don't take it to heart. Decide in your mind right now, God means what he says. He doesn't talk lightly. This is serious kind of things with him. You take it seriously. That's the other side of the issue. A word of caution. What God says, if you take it lightly, what he's proposing to you. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28 and verse 15. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 15. But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body. And on and on and on. You can read those scriptures for a good while. It's going to take more than a couple or 3 minutes to read those scriptures about what's going to happen to you if you don't take this seriously. So, naturally, you need to know that there is the other side to not accepting God's offer, or accepting it and just taking it lightly and not really being serious with it. These are the curses. When you, the other side of the issue, when you read this in chapter 28, of Deuteronomy, and you read that whole chapter 28, the first 14 is all about how God is going to be wonderful to you as you enter into this covenant relationship with him. You don't even need to think about the rest of the chapter if you're going to be like you should to God. If you're going to obey him, do what he says. Be the kind of person he wants you to be. I mean, it's not like you're having to climb Mount Everest or something. So if you know you're going to react to God like he wants you to react and say yes to him and mean it and do it, then you don't even have to worry about the rest of the chapter. The blessings is all you need to be focused on, if that is your intent. But if it's not, then what happens? In that chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, 14 verses, the first 14 are God's blessings to you. How many do you think is left in that chapter? 54 verses speaks about what happens if you don't. The curses. 54 on one side, 14 on another. What does that tell you? It tells me God is serious about this. He devoted 54 verses to explain the bad part of the issue, and only 14, but plenty enough. You're going to serve Him anyway. I'd say God means that He wants obedience. He's serious about this issue. So, you know the pros, you know the cons, you know the blessings, you know the curses. How does that make you feel? It make you feel fearful? Make you feel like, well, I don't think I might can do this, or I don't think I ought to. God would never put something before you like this that you was not able to do, and that was not for your good. So the only issue should be with us is, this is really great and good. I want all that He has of this. I'm going to enter this covenant relationship with Him. That's what our reaction ought to be. Not some doubtful, fearful kind of side to it. Do you want to be a child of God in covenant with Him? An heir of all His promises to His people. You remember how God said He would bless Abraham and bless all of his descendants and bless all the nations of the earth through him? And of course, it's speaking of leading up to Jesus Christ coming to this earth and how the earth would be blessed by them opening their heart to the salvational plan of God through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. Do you want to be a child of God? Considering everything that I've read, His covenant to His children 3,500 years ago was part of this covenant that He expects of us today. His law, the royal law, the Ten Commandments, it's still in effect today. Not one jot or one tittle, Jesus says, will in any wise disappear unless you see heaven and earth disappear. Then maybe God's law, His royal law, His word, His command, then maybe you might think about something happening. But as long as you see with your eyes heaven and earth is still here, not one jot and one tittle in what He requires of mankind will be changed or voided, nullified. It's still in effect today. I'm going to finish with this next week. But during this next Sabbath, but during this next week, I want you to think about this serious. Because next Sabbath, I might have everybody come up here to the front and stand up here, and we might be faced with a question. Do you want to enter knowingly, willingly, visibly, publicly? Do you want to be known and seen as having entered into a covenant relationship with God based on knowing the information that I've given you this morning and since the first of this year of what the blessings are, what the curses can be? And knowing the covenant, I will put my laws into your heart and in your mind. Nobody shall wonder who is God or what his laws is or what I should do or not do. He's going to ingrain it in your heart and mind. And he has. You're walking around with it today. But have you said yes to God and his covenant that he wants with you? Because it requires a decision. It requires yes, I will, no, I won't. And what you say depends on if you're going to be a covenant person of God. So I want you to think about this when you go away from here. Because you should have already made this decision. And you may have. And great if you have. Great if you're taking it seriously. And great if it is in your heart. Like he says in the scripture, not taking it lightly, what God has brought to you. If you would, stand with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this blessed service. We thank you, Lord, for these words of truth.